Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. This past week has been called Passion Week or Holy Week. And there were lots of events, lots of important events which took place. Lots of things to think about which happened prior to the crucifixion of Jesus. But so too, there were lots of things that took place on the glorious morning of the resurrection. Other events that took place even throughout the rest of the day. And these are important events for us to consider as well. And so this morning, we're going to look at Luke's account of what took place on Resurrection Day. Each gospel account is true with some differing details because these were four writers under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit giving their account. They were not journalists or even as historians would try to record in terms of times and dates. These are narratives which reveal and convey divine truth. And so for our text, we're going to consider Luke's account, and in it, we're going to find a common thread on which I want to pull at. I entitled the sermon today in the form of a question. Was it necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise on the third day? Was it necessary? And we are going to visit three instances where this question is addressed in Luke 24. And I hope and pray at the conclusion of this message, it will no longer be a question for you, but a statement. Yes, it was absolutely necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise on the third day. Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village in which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful to have your word given to us in a language that we can understand. And I pray, Lord, that as we go through this theme that's woven through this chapter, that we will come to believe it was absolutely necessary for Jesus Christ to suffer, to die, and to rise on the third day. May your Spirit be upon us We pray in your name. Amen. So our text begins with a group of women who, on the first day of the week, at early dawn, went to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. These were spices and perfumes that were prepared before the Sabbath. They rested on the Sabbath, and then on the first day, which is Sunday for us, they went on to their way to anoint the body of Jesus. Mark's account tells us that they were wondering to themselves, how are we going to get in? Who's going to roll the stone away for us? And then Matthew's account tells us, no problem, God's got this. After the Sabbath or the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. So the tomb's open. Now we return to Luke's account and we see that the women are perplexed and terrified. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, okay, just imagine that. They're saying, this is perplexing, okay? We're wondering who's going to roll the stone away. And we get here, and lo and behold, the stone has been rolled away. Where are the guards? What happened to them? What is going on here? And then all of a sudden, terrified. Here's the terrifying part. Behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, they bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Two angels who looked like men in dazzling apparel had asked them a question. And the frightened women are looking down. And maybe they're thinking, do you see what I'm seeing? And maybe one of them's like, I can't see anything because my face is in the dirt. I'm not looking at anything. And maybe the other one's saying, if I close my eyes, maybe they'll go away. Well, seeing their fear, the angels answer the question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Jesus is not dead. He's not here. He's not among the dead. He's alive. Don't go looking for the living where the dead are. And here's where the angels then provide the scriptural statement that I posed as a question in the sermon title. They said, Jesus is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified and on the third day rise. There's the emphatic statement. It has to be this way. It must be so. Could it be any other way? No. It must be this way. Why? Because Jesus had said so. He said it plainly, and Jesus does not lie. God does not lie. Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully man. And so it was that the Son of Man, Jesus, in the flesh, had to suffer and die a physical death, and then on the third day would be raised to physical life. When the women heard that, they knew it was the truth. That it was what Jesus had said. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the leaven and to all the rest, but the others didn't believe them. And Peter took off to go see the empty tomb, and he too came back puzzled and perplexed. Now, next, Luke advances the story to the two men on the road to Emmaus, which is the town that's about 6-7 miles away from Jerusalem. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. It seems like they were having a discussion in verse 15. They were having a discussion, but more literally, it means, it's translated as they were having an argument, or they were debating, or they were reasoning, okay? They're trying to figure out what happened. They too were perplexed and puzzled. These things were not supposed to turn out this way. Or were they? And then next, Jesus comes up to them, and they were prevented from recognizing him. They didn't know it was him, and so Jesus asked them what they were discussing. And imagine that you're on this road headed out of Jerusalem toward Emmaus, and they heard Jesus then come up to them and ask them what they were talking about. And it says that they stopped and looked sad. They looked sad. They were grieved. They were trying to figure out, how was it that the Messiah had died? And they thought, how in the world could anyone not know or have heard of the crucifixion of Jesus? When darkness fell and there was an earthquake, the temple veil being torn in two from top to bottom. How could anyone not know this had happened? And Cleopas asked him, are you the only outsider not paying attention to Fox News? Or Camel News, or whatever they called it back then? Have you not seen or heard about the things during these past days? And Jesus probed them as if to reveal what is in the mind of these two fellows. What things? And you know, when Jesus asks you a question, he knows the answers. But it revealed something. They would go on to tell Jesus about Jesus, how he was a prophet, how he was delivered up and crucified. They even told him about the most recent events that had happened that morning, early in the day, when the women had come back and told him the tomb was empty, and how they saw visions of angels, because they didn't see the real ones. They didn't believe they were real angels. They would do that to be a vision, right? They got too much of those spices worked up into them or something. But it had been verified by others. The tomb is empty. He's gone. But we had hoped, and here's the key insight, verse 21. Here's the key insight. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. We were hoping, we were expecting, we had trusted that he was the Messiah. Since Jesus was a baby, there were their own prophets who had said that he was the Messiah. In Luke chapter 2, Simeon had prophesied, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And Anna prophesied, coming up that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. But now he's dead.
And now he's missing.
And then here's the point where Jesus informs them that it had to be this way. He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" There's our statement again. Jesus rhetorically gives it in the form of a question, but there is no doubt as to its intended meaning. It is a statement of necessity. Why? Because the prophets spoke of these things? Well, yes, but the prophets spoke the words of truth that were given by God himself. Jesus himself spoke these words in his role as a prophet. He gave the same message as this did the angels earlier at the tomb. They all attested to this. God's word cannot return void. Isaiah 55, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And so then Jesus walks them through the scriptures to reveal that they were about him. But he had yet to reveal his true identity to them. They were getting close to the town. It was evening, and it was customary for them, for the people at the time, to offer hospitality. And so they offered Jesus hospitality because he appeared that he was going to keep going and travel through the night, which was dangerous. You might get robbed. You might get mugged. You might even get killed. And so they urged him strongly to stay with them. It was the right thing to do. It was customary. So Jesus accepted, and he sits at table, and he takes the bread, and he breaks it, and blesses it, and gives it to them. And it's then that their eyes are open to recognize it is Jesus in the flesh. And then he vanishes from their sight. And then notice their immediate reaction. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road while he opened to us the scriptures?" Jesus had been revealing the truth of God's word to them. He was revealing himself as the truth, the way, and the life. And they knew it in their hearts. And they were filled with an inner joy, an inner fire, which began to burn in their bosom. Well, dinner's over. But they didn't turn in for the night. No, they had news. They had a burning heart. They had to get back and tell the others. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. We just had dinner with the man. And so now the scene shifts back to Jerusalem. And by the time these two fellows had made it back there, they're probably super excited to tell their story to the disciples. But what did they find? They probably expected to find a room of sorrowful, grieving people. But that's not what they found at all. The disciples had some exciting news of their own to share with them. Verse 34, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon." Sometime during when they had left and by the time they traveled back, Jesus had appeared to Peter, which is what Paul said when he wrote to the church in Corinth. "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," in Aramaic means rock, which means Peter, "and then to the 12. And then that's when the two men told their tale and how Jesus had revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread. But what an exciting time. What a roller coaster of emotions. The women had been perplexed, then frightened, then filled with joy. And the disciples didn't know what to think. They were perplexed. Peter and John took off to see the tomb. And we have the two men, the two Emmaus road men. They were sad. They were at a loss for how to explain that their Messiah was dead and missing. And then to be in the very presence of Jesus, he was truly alive. And they're telling each other this. And then Jesus joins them there in that room. Verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you. Peace." And what did they do? They went into freak out mode. They were like, "Bah!" They were startled and frightened. Why? Because they thought they saw a spirit, or as some translations have it, a ghost. Sometimes I go around the house and I pop out in front of Camille and I go, "Ah!" And she goes, "Ah!" Or I go up to Abby, she's wearing headphones and she's just like a zombie. She's so tuned out. And all I have to do is go, I don't even have to make a noise. And she's just, "Ah!" It's great fun. And I'm sure they could tell you about the emotions they experienced. But Jesus wasn't a ghost. He was physically alive, present in the flesh, and he invited them to see his hands and feet, to touch and see, to comprehend that he truly was alive in the flesh. And some of them were still trying to put these things together. And so Jesus asked them for something to eat. And so they gave him some fish. And he demonstrated that he had indeed physically resurrected to life. They had witnessed his death. They had witnessed his burial. And now they were witnessing his physical resurrection. Next, Jesus would then explain to them his words and walk them through the scriptures as he had the two men earlier. And in so doing, Jesus opened their minds to understand the fulfillment of the divine plan of God for the Messiah to save his people from their sins. So Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." And so there is the third pull of the string. It was necessary for Jesus to fulfill the scriptures, to be true to his word, and they had all been made witnesses to it all. Divine revelation in the flesh. Jesus is who he claims to be. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior, and he's not dead. He is truly alive. It was necessary for the gospel to save men from their sins. And now that Jesus had made them witnesses to this divine reality, he then commissioned them. "You are witnesses of these things." They are witnesses and are expected to testify. To testify to what? To testify to the gospel truth. That repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in His name and no other. And this is exactly what the disciples preached. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Peter preaching to the Gentiles, to Cornelius and his family. Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. And as for the word He sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that He did in both the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. What did they witness? They put Him to death by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him up on the third day and made Him to appear, not to all people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To Him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. That's exactly what they were commissioned and told to do. And the final scene, which closes the book of Luke, is the ascension of Jesus, where He blesses His disciples and is taken up into heaven. We then see the disciples glorifying and worshiping the risen Lord. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Does that describe you, Christian brother? Christian sister? Is your heart full of great joy? Are you continually worshiping? Do you continually bless God? Or are you continually complaining to God? Are you acting on the gospel commission? Are you waiting for others to do it for you? You who have witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. That's who He's talking to. That's who He's commissioned. Well, what a joyous message. It was absolutely necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise on the third day. Why? That repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed. And that those who would come to Jesus would hear, would come to understand, would repent and believe, would be saved and inherit eternal life. Have you heard this message? Have you heard His call? Has Jesus revealed to you that He is indeed the very Son of God who takes away your sins and reconciles you to the Father? See, Jesus says to His disciples, peace to you. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, humbled, grateful that You revealed Your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. that we heard him call us to repent and believe. That there was a burning inside us that knew it's true. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. It was necessary for him to suffer, to die on the cross, to atone for my sins. And now I'm forgiven, justified by faith, through grace, in Christ alone. I pray that is the prayer of our heart. I pray that is what burns inside us. And God, may we then burn with a zeal to tell others who are lost, others who are in darkness, others who need to come and see. May you be glorified in all things. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.